This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Today, I'm walking you through a mid-year recap of many of the things that have gone down in my personal world of points, miles, and travel strategy so far in 2025. I'll break down the wins, like statuses earned, stacking bonuses, and various strategies I've utilized, but I'll also share some of the lessons learned and mistakes made. This episode is packed with real examples and decision-making insight which can benefit someone just getting started with points and miles or already playing at a high level. You'll walk away with ideas, perspective, and maybe even a few strategies to apply to your own travel plans for the rest of the year.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. My name is DeAndre Koch, and today what I'm going to do is break down some of the things that have gone really right for me in the travel and points and miles world, and some mistakes and other things that have happened over the last 6 months. This is really meant to be a mid-year recap, and I feel like no matter whether you are an experienced or advanced points and miles user or a beginner, that this will be a valuable episode for you. And the reason why is because it allows you to kind of get inside my head and my thought process with a few different decisions made throughout the year. What I do throughout the year is I take notes on different things that have happened that I think would be beneficial to be able to share in a future episode on this show. So I like doing a mid-year and a year-end recap. I'm not going to spend as much time today talking through trips and specific redemptions and hotel stays. Probably going to save that more for the highlight reel at the end of the year, but more so some of the smaller decisions, some of the things that pop up on a day-to-day basis as you're planning points and miles travel or which card to get next, which sign-up bonus to chase after. And all of these things I think can be very beneficial to help you make decisions or understand at least my thought process with decision making to figure out, are these decisions that you would make yourself if you were placed in a similar scenario? And I think this is also beneficial to see how points can be done in a lot of different ways. Of course, there is always individuals who have different goals and plans for travel. For myself and for my fiance, Taryn, you know, because we are dual income, you know, no kids, we don't have the same constraints as maybe a family of four that are looking to travel and use their points. And whether that family wants to book all in business class or save their points for economy, those are going to be obviously different decisions. So again, my goal today is just to talk through all the things that we've done for the most part within the last 6 months, and hopefully be able to help you with your decision-making process throughout the rest of the year. And for those of you who are more advanced when it comes to points and miles travel, I would love some feedback from you on if you think I made the right decision, right calls in certain areas, would you have done something different as well? So as always, please provide feedback in our group chat, in our Facebook group, in the YouTube comments. Feel free, would love to hear your thoughts. So starting out first, let's just talk through status updates and the new cards that we've received so far. So one of the things that I adamantly have chased down the last couple of years is American Airlines Platinum Pro status. Talked about that many, many times. Was able to achieve that, thankfully, with a pretty decent margin there. And the reason why I feel like Platinum Pro status with American is kind of a sweet spot, is the points required were only 125,000 loyalty points, and it's a pretty good stretch to get to 200,000 loyalty points for Executive Platinum. But at Platinum Pro, you get access to One World Emerald status, which gets you into some of the finest lounges in the world, which we've been able to benefit from. Do I need to have three checked bags? No, not really. Is Group 2 boarding significantly better than Group 3? Typically not. It does help being higher on the upgrade list, and depending on where we're flying through, that happens more often than not. But I really think that Emerald status is a huge, huge benefit. The other status we were able to achieve was Hyatt Globalist status, and that was actually done with a mattress run with a status match from American Airlines with Platinum Pro status to Hyatt. And I've mentioned this in the past, but last year and for the previous years, American Airlines had a tiered system. So depending on your status with American, you were able to status match and then do a mattress run with Hyatt. This is the other reason why I pushed so heavily to get to Platinum Pro. And I did that starting from last year. My Platinum Pro status from last year made me eligible to hit Globalist status for this year. That was another reason why I wanted to make sure if I hit Platinum Pro again, if they do this opportunity for a mattress run again, I likely have the opportunity to follow through with it. And the way that it worked was that if you are American, Gold, or Platinum, then you get status matched to Explorer status for a period of 90 days, and you have to complete 10 Hyatt nights in that 90-day window, and you get to keep Explorer status, which is the level under Globalist, for the following year. However, if you are Platinum Pro or you're Executive Platinum, you have an additional opportunity within that same 90-day period. If you stay 20 days or 20 nights, I should say, instead of 10, then you're able to get Globalist status. So I did a full mattress run within a 90-day period, 20 night stays, in order to get Globalist. I'm doing the math now. I'm going to actually have a recap at the end of the year of was it worth it? Was the upgrades and benefits that I received from the different stays actually worth it? And I'll report back to you on that. So far, I will say Hyatt Globalist has been fantastic. This is my first year as a Globalist. I've been Explorers for the last couple of years. And I think actually through a couple methods, we might actually end up hitting Globalist this year purely on night stays without doing another mattress run again. But I'm going to report back to you. So those are a couple of the wins from a status standpoint. And they played hand in hand. Platinum Pro in addition to Hyatt Globalist together worked out beautifully. So there have been a few cards that we have gotten so far this part of the year. First off, I was able to get the City Strata Premier card that was able to get me 75,000 thank you points. I felt like City was a lesser known points currency, so obviously not as big as Capital One or Chase or Amex, but there are some sweet spots, especially when you look at preferred and choice hotels that can really play into a future trip that we may take. So I wanted to start building my bank of City points, and I currently use that card mostly for groceries. I have that linked to our Instacart profile, so anytime we order groceries, it's charged to that card, which gets a 3x multiplier. Now, you may be saying, well, why aren't you using the Amex Gold? Well, one, Amex, we pretty easily can acquire a lot of points with a few different methods. But two, I never ended up getting the Amex Gold because I only had the Amex Platinum. And I had just never bothered to get the Amex Gold. Then they took away the ability to get the sign-up bonus, or the welcome offer, as they call it, for the Amex Gold if you've already had the Amex Platinum. So I actually never got the personal Amex Gold. I do have the business gold, but not the personal. And so having this multiplier with the City Strata Premier card actually works really well to earn a boost in points because groceries are a decent monthly expense for us. I was also able to get my third Amex Business Platinum, and this was from an offer mailed to me. I had one a couple years ago, and then last year they gave me a second one right at the same time as the first one was expiring, so I accepted that. And then this one came in earlier this year, and I was like, they probably aren't going to accept it, but they ended up doing that. And that was for a 250,000 point welcome offer, which was awesome. $20,000 spend in 3 months. So now I actually do have two Amex Business Platinums that are overlapping. very likely will not keep one of them. So the oldest one, once that's up for renewal, I will try to see if there's any sort of retention offer that may be compelling. But of course, Amex is refreshing their business and personal platinums here in the future. So I'm not exactly sure what that's going to look like. And the retention offer is going to have to be pretty strong, because if these cards go up to over $1,000 in fees, really going to want to see what the value we're going to get out of them to ensure, does it make sense to actually have two of these that are overlapping at the same time? I will definitely always have at least one, but not sure if it's going to make sense to have two that are active. And because these are business platinum cards and business cards, not personal, by closing them down after, be very clear, after I've had them for over 12 months, when the new fee charges, so that's when I reach out and ask for a retention offer, after the 12 months and after the fee hits again, within 30 days of that fee hitting, I'll reach out and just see what they have to offer. If I don't like it, what I'll do is I'll go ahead and say, please close the card down, and they will refund that fee back to me. I'll still have to pay off anything that's still on the card, but it's not going to hurt my personal credit at all because of the fact that this is not reporting on my personal credit because it is a business card. So Taryn herself actually has a career consulting and coaching business and was able to get an Amex Business Platinum for that as well. Now, what's really interesting with that is I had her first Google search and tried to use different browsers, incognito window, et cetera, to find a better offer than the one that kept coming in the mail, which was for 150,000 points plus $500 statement credit. She was very easily able to find a 250,000 point offer and a $500 statement credit. However, every time she applied for it, she was put into what's known as Amex pop-up jail or pop-up prison, where a pop-up says, hey, you can get this card, but you're not eligible to get a welcome offer. Which is really crazy because she's a super high credit score. She's been with Amex for years, even longer than me through her previous corporate role, has always been super responsible with her card strategy. And so it was really weird that that was happening. No matter where we tried, she kept getting this pop-up. However, our last resort was, well, let's use my referral link for under just the cards that I have in general. And she was able to use that. It was the same offer that came in the mail, which was for 150,000 points, not 250. But they were able to approve her, and she got the welcome offer as approved for that as well. So not as great as an offer as obviously as a 250,000 points, but still an opportunity there. And that's the same spend. So $20,000 within 3 months spend. That's easily going to be able to be accomplished between business expenses. And then we've got a wedding coming up as well. So that's going to be very easy to take care of. And one of the other areas, this isn't specifically a sign-up bonus, but I talked about it in a quick hits a few weeks ago, is that on Rakuten, which is a shopping portal, they've been offering that if you sign up for a checking account with SoFi and have a direct deposit hit of $500 or more within 45 days of opening the account, you get 25,000 Amex points. And with Rakuten, if you have it set as cash back, it'd be $250. But if you have it linked to your Amex account and Amex rewards, then you get it as Amex points instead. So that $250 is now 25,000 Amex points. So very simply, Taryn went through Rakuten, opened up a SoFi checking account, and through having one direct deposit clear through, 25,000 Amex points, as simple as that. This is one of the things I said take advantage of. I did it during Black Friday last year. It was 35,000 Amex points. I think the standard is about 12,500. So you want to wait for an elevated opportunity to come along there. But again, these are some of the small, easy ways to accumulate Amex points that are beyond just the spend between shopping portals, the welcome offers on their cards, just kind of knowing how that strategy works out while still being responsible and using these cards. That's also the key, right? So even though we've got a business platinum that has a decently high fee, we're going to use all of the benefits of the card. In fact, Taryn received her business platinum, I think June 20-ish, something like that. So later in June. And I said, hey, make sure you enroll in the Dell $200 credit as soon as possible. And then she went ahead and bought some Dell accessories that were exactly $200. So she was able to get some things that she needed from the Dell website that was already going to be a purchase in the future in general, bought for $200, got a $200 credit, plus stack that with a shopping portal bonus as well. So she was able to get American Airlines miles from that purchase, plus the purchase with her Amex card in general, all of that essentially without paying anything out of pocket because she made sure to enroll and we got the card before the June 30th cutoff. So let's talk through some redemptions, and I'll start with a rookie mistake that I mentioned a few months ago on the quick hits that we do. And so my rookie mistake was that I've been trying to plan our flights and our strategy for our honeymoon, which is primarily in Fiji and New Zealand, but we're going to end up routing through Hong Kong to get there. That's just kind of what you do in the points and miles world, is you go where the points can efficiently take you. And while I was looking, I kept seeing through different point searching methods that there were 115,000 per person business class flight opportunity from JFK to Hong Kong. That's for Ethiopian Airlines, and that was using Aeroplan, so Air Canada Aeroplan. So I kept looking, kept finding, and I went and did what I always recommend that you do. I went to the Aeroplan website and I searched for this flight, and it popped up. So, okay, there's availability. Great. And now the thing is you can't actually go through the booking process until you've actually transferred points over. So I could see that it was there. I was like, perfect. I did some other things because I was busy and then came back to it. Searched for the same flight again. Did not pop up. I was like, well, that's weird. I guess it's already gone. I basically refreshed my page and it popped back up. I was like, oh, okay. It must have been a glitch. Great. Well, I should have known that that wasn't a glitch. That means it was likely a phantom booking, but I was excited to get this booked and be able to check this off my list. So what do? I moved 230,000 miles to Aeroplan for this Ethiopian Airlines flight. Well, it was a phantom flight. So I went ahead and tried to book it, and it kept giving me an error. I called Aeroplan themselves. They saw it. They tried to book it. It was giving them an error. And this flight was not possible to be booked, unfortunately. And it seems like that actually happens to be a big issue with Ethiopian Airlines, with Aeroplan, is they show a lot of availability that doesn't actually exist for whatever reason. Well, I was distraught because obviously I just transferred almost 250,000 points for a flight that I wasn't able to take. Well, coincidentally, after just a couple days of trying to figure out what to do in this case, I was able to end up finding the exact amount of points for a flight from New Zealand back to JFK for the end of our trip. And it was exactly 230,000 Aeroplan miles, which was fantastic. So I went ahead and booked that and felt great. I was like, oh man, okay, I've got these points to use. I thought they were going to be stranded at Aeroplan for whatever reason. I went ahead and found this booking that I could use them and booked them. Well, what's funny is I ended up canceling that because I ended up finding a direct flight from New Zealand to DFW. See, that first flight, Auckland to JFK, would have been New Zealand to Singapore, then Singapore to JFK. I think that first leg would have been like 10 hours and the second leg would have been 17 hours. Whereas I found one direct flight, I think it was using Qantas Airlines or something like that, from Auckland to DFW direct. And it was at a better time. I mean, everything about this flight was better, but that means I had to cancel my 230,000 miles at Aeroplan. So I did that. So I still actually have 230,000 miles sitting at Aeroplan that we'll figure out somehow when to use it. I'm not super concerned because Aeroplan is one of the best places I could imagine to have my points stuck at. But this is what happens in the points and miles world. Sometimes you find a better deal and you got to decide, okay, how much better is it? Because I had to transfer more points to Qantas to be able to pull the trigger on this. And I knew that I was going to have these points stranded, but I was okay with that because I also know, okay, I had the opportunity to A, acquire more points, and B, it's still somewhere where it's pretty flexible. We can figure out somewhere to use these nearly 250,000 points. Hey everyone, quick break from the episode. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you've gotten any value so far, it would mean the world if you left a quick rating or review. It helps more people discover the show and keeps us motivated to keep creating great content. Also, if you're feeling stuck or want help with points and miles, whether it's picking your first card, planning a big redemption, or even having someone book it all for you, we've got you covered. There's a link in the show notes to schedule a free points and miles consultation. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, tell us your goals, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget, our newsletter and private Facebook group are great ways to stay on top of breaking news, updated card offers, and tips that don't always make it into the podcast. You'll find those links in the show notes as well. Now, back to the episode. Now let's transition a little bit to hotels. I went ahead and actually, for the first time this year, purchased a lot of hotel points. I usually don't, but I've started to realize that preserving my transferable points are going to be much more valuable. I'm super excited. I've got an interview coming up that you guys are going to hear in a couple weeks with Travel Like Tommy. He breaks down the science and the numbers and the logic behind buying points. And a big part of it is the fact that you can buy points, and if you use them properly, you can preserve your transferable points. So what did we do? So we bought 200,000 IHG points, but got 200,000 as a bonus. So we paid $2,000 for essentially 400,000 IHG points, and also bought 240,000 Hilton points and got a bonus of 240,000 Hilton points on top of that. So basically paid $2,400 for 480,000 Hilton points. Now here's the key. Both of these times we bought points, this was when the hotels were offering a 100% bonus. If they were offering 25 or 50, I would not have done it. But because they were offering a 100% bonus, that was the opportunity to max out. And we bought the maximum amount of points that a single person could buy in a calendar year from this hotel or from both of these hotel chains. Now, here's an example of how we used it. I bought these Hilton points knowing exactly what I wanted to use them for. And there is, for our honeymoon in Fiji, there is an SLH property that was going for 100,000 points a night. And so with Hilton, you use points, you book four nights, you get the fifth night free. So I used 400,000 points to get five nights there. Those 400,000 points essentially cost me $2,000 for a stay that would have been about $4,300 to $4,500. So I paid $2,000 to get a $4,500 stay. So I effectively saved $2,500. So I essentially got more than 50% off the stay just because I bought points instead of paying cash for the hotel. And so the other point is I didn't have to worry about transferring 200,000 of my Amex points to convert into 400,000 of Hilton. So I was able to save my Amex points so I can use them for flights and other things as opposed to transferring them to Hilton. So that's why I chose to buy these points. Now, interestingly enough, with our honeymoon is already sitting at around 1 million points total between flights, which were about 600,000 all in, and then one of our hotel stays, which was 400K points. This is going to be one of our most ambitious trips ever. I think I say that every time we do a trip and then it just gets bigger and bigger, but this truly will be fairly ambitious, but it's our honeymoon, so why not go big? And then another hotel kind of finding and strategy that I think is beneficial to share is actually regarding my bachelor parties, which is going to be in Vegas. I had actually had three separate bookings because of the way that pricing and the points worked. The pricing for points at the Palazzo on Friday night and Saturday night were so expensive that I decided to just pay cash instead of burn my points. But on Thursday night and on Sunday night, the points were very, very reasonable for a suite. What did I do? Well, I had three bookings. One was points, the middle two nights were cash, and then the last night was points. And just kind of said, that's it, good to go. Well, been tracking the pricing and saw that the pricing for that weekend actually dropped substantially. What did I do? Well, I ended up actually canceling my booking and rebooked. Well, actually, I rebooked first, then canceled, but I rebooked. And I ended up getting all my points back, which are, I think, were about 70,000 points. And my cash cost for the entire bachelor party for the hotel stay ended up being like $200 or $300 cheaper than the original just two-night stay before. So I got all my points back and saved $200 to $300 just because I was monitoring the cost of this hotel leading up to the trip. So same thing happened with my American Airlines flight on my one-way to bachelor party in Vegas. The original flight was somewhere close to about $1,100, $1,200. Well, the flights actually reduced in cost pretty dramatically back in May, and I had that tracked. And so when I saw that, I went ahead and actually canceled my original ticket. I got a flight credit for about whatever the original cost was. Let's say it was $1,100. And then I immediately, so within minutes of canceling and getting that credit, I immediately rebooked the same flight, same seats, everything, and used that credit. But that cost was like $800. So now I have a $300 or $400 credit with American Airlines that I saved just because I was tracking my trip. So I encourage you, if you have trips coming up, make sure you're using Google Flights or whatever tool may be beneficial just to track and see when flight changes occur, because you could be saving money just by having an alert that tells you that the price of the flight has dropped and you can rebook it and save yourself some cost. And then we've also just had some other creative redemptions and strategies as well. A good example is I have a property that I have just sold, and it was an investment property of mine. And it was on the market, got full asking, which was great, but there were some repairs that were needed. Somewhere in the realm of like 10K worth of repairs that needed to be done. Typically speaking, a lot of the contractors will just do the repairs and they'll get paid through the closing, right? So you don't have to come out of pocket with it. You're just, the check that you get when you sell the property is reduced because the contractors got paid. What I actually did is I asked my realtor, I said, hey, can you contact the contractors that need to do the work and just see, will they accept payment by credit card instead? And both contractors said yes. One had a $5,000, let's just assume it was $5,000 for each contractor. Well, one said yes and had a 3% fee. The other one said yes and actually had no credit card fee, which is a huge win. But the one that said yes, that had the fee, their fee was 3%. And easily you could say, well, 3%, if that's the vendor charge, why would I ever do that? Well, this goes back to the strategy we've talked about with the payroll on credit card side of things. If I know I can get 2 cents or more value with my points, I will take a 3% charge all day, any day, especially if I'm using a card that's going to get me 1.5x or more. So for me, I'll take a $5,000 charge, put it on a card that earns me 1.5x, so 7,500 points, because I know I can turn that 7,500 points into a lot more value. What do I mean by that? Well, very simply put, a 3% fee on a $5,000 charge is $150. Again, if you're getting 1.5x, you're getting about 7,500 points. Well, 7,500 points, I can turn into way more than $150. As an example, let's just say I transferred those 7,500 points to Hyatt. I can get a Hyatt stay that's $200 a night for 7,500 points, or more or less. So that's why I look at it from the lens of, am I going to get enough value out of these points? Now, if the credit card fee was 5% or 10%, which I don't, doesn't really exist, but if it was, that'd be a different story. But 3% all day, I know I can get that value back from the points that I earn on the card, even if I'm only earning 1.5% with the card. Now, this is the key though. You have to be experienced in using your points. If you're just using the Chase portal or the Amex portal, you're never going to get that value back. But if you know how to transfer your points to airlines, to hotels, you can absolutely get way more than 2x of value. And again, it's simple math. 2x of value times 1.5, which is what you earned on the card, gets you 3, right? And so that breaks even with the fee. But if you're getting 3x, 4x, 5x of value with your points, you're superseding that fee by large margins. Some other creative strategies that we've had, I mentioned in a quick hits a little bit farther back that I wasn't sure how many points we were going to end up transferring from American Express to Alaska. We ended up moving about 94,000 Amex points to Hawaiian, to Alaskan Airlines before that loophole closed. That was really just so we know that we can actually use these for flights, for domestic flights. I don't really have anything specific that was more speculative, which I know I always talk about not doing, but this was a loophole that obviously has been widely talked about and is very unique. So excited that we've got some points now sitting at Alaska Airlines. Taryn actually moved her Amex points in doing that, and we'll figure out where we use these points. We've seen plenty of domestic flights that were 6,000 points with Alaska Airlines per person. And so we're likely going to probably utilize these maybe for some positioning flights or something along those lines for future trips. Something that we've talked about many times, especially last year, was Bask Bank and how you can use it's an equivalent of a high yield savings account that instead of giving you interest, earns you American Airlines miles. Taryn has that account set up, and we earn a lot of American Airlines miles each year just through that alone. And right now, we've earned about 51,000 so far for halfway through the year, which is great. And that's just with funds sitting in a Bask Bank savings account. And the way that it works is we're earning around 8,500 miles per month. And it used to be closer to 10,000, I believe. But as interest rates have gone down, the output, instead of being 2.5 miles per dollar in the account per year, it's now 2 miles per dollar in the account per year. And this is where, as the financial advisor in me, I have to recommend to consult with your financial advisor before actually doing this to make sure that this fits in with your overall strategy. A heads up, obviously, if you're looking for one or need a financial advisor, welcome to come talk to me in a separate setting outside of the Points and Miles world. We link our financial planning practice is in every single show note linked to there. But this is where it's important to talk through with your financial advisor. Does this make sense for you? And I'm going to talk through the math in a second. When you evaluate where your dollars are, obviously retirement accounts, investment accounts, different savings accounts, these are going to be important places for you to park money. But if you have excess funds that don't necessarily need to fit into the rest of that plan, this is a really unique place to put it. Why is that? Well, I'll give you a specific example. For our wedding, we're flying in first class with American Airlines. Our wedding's in the Dominican Republic, and we paid 100,000 American Airlines miles and about $270 cash for a round trip business class for both of us. That's a value of about $2,400 would have been the cash cost basically. Why do I bring that up? Well, let's say you had 50K sitting in Basque Bank. That would generate for you over the course of a year about 100,000 American Airlines miles. Well, 100,000 American Airlines miles we just used to get us a $2,400 plane ticket for both of us round trip in business class. In order to replicate that return, that $2,400 value, you would need a roughly a 5% rate of return on $50,000 to match that. Now, 5% is very easy to do, obviously, and there were high yield accounts that were yielding that just a year and a half ago. But here's the interesting piece. I would argue if you had 50K in an investment account that earned you 5% or more, you're probably not pulling that money out for flights. Also, if you do, you're likely going to be subject to some capital gains and taxes on that. Whereas with the Basque Bank, the capital gains, there aren't capital gains, but the taxes on the banking interest are substantially lower. So instead of in a high yield account where you would see that you earn $2,400 in interest for the year, thus paying tax on $2,400, our interest statement on that account, arguably, I don't have the exact number, but I feel like it was like $100. It's valued substantially less than actual interest dollar for dollar. So there are some wins there, but again, you have to consult and see, does this make sense for your own personal financial plan to do something like this? For us, having some funds parked away that's just earning American Airlines miles that we can use for some really cool trips, especially we've used American Airlines miles for flying to the Maldives, for Qatar, for Q Suites, different things that are super high value and much lower cost from a point standpoint. It absolutely can make sense, but you have to see, does it fit in with your own personal plan? And then just to wrap up here, some of the things we're looking ahead for the future. Right now, I'm at about a 424 status with Chase. That's going to drop here in a couple months to 324. So I've got a few card plans. I do think I'm going to be getting the Chase Sapphire business card, not because I really feel like I need it, but because the current signup bonus is great. And we absolutely can hit that just with a payroll on credit card, with that being back with Zelle Money. That's an area that I plan to ideally target, use that, get the 200,000 point signup bonus, and then reevaluate that after a year if we're going to keep it or not. The follow up to that is the Hilton Aspire card, because want to go ahead and make sure that we've got that. That's going to give us a boost in Hilton points and still also give us diamond status, which will be helpful when we go to Fiji and for our honeymoon. And so those are the two that I definitely have on deck in the shorter term. And the last is the Mesa Homeowners card, which we had a recent episode talking about. I definitely want to get this card, but of course, if I get this, this is going to put me at the 524 limit and likely not going to free up another spot until next year. So I'm considering that. I think at this point, I'm pretty much good to go with Chase cards, especially if I get the new business Sapphire card, but just something that I'm rummaging around in my head before I pull the trigger on. And lastly, we're still figuring out the honeymoon. I can't wait to have that all planned out. And then, of course, you know, you guys are going to get to kind of share the experience with us as we recap how we got there, our stays, the beautiful places that we went, the adventures that we went on. But that's the exciting part with Points and Miles, is part of the amazing trips is figuring out how to get there, what to do, and where to stay as well. So I know this was a lot that I went through in this episode. I usually like to keep these solo episodes a little bit shorter, but I wanted to kind of share with you a lot of the thought processes of things I've had up to this point in the year so far. We'll keep making notes for the things that happen over the course of the year. One of the beautiful things is we have a wedding coming up, and weddings are expensive, and that also allows us to have charges that we can put on cards. We've already confirmed with the resort that we can put a lot of our charges on cards. That's going to give us a boost in points. We're getting sign-up bonuses with those as well. So a lot of really cool things coming down the pipeline for us in the future. As always, I must continue to stress, make sure that you're being financially responsible when utilizing credit cards, whether it's spending on them or opening them in general. I know when you hear from individuals like myself, other people we have on the show, other people in the social media space, they can just make it seem like, hey, like, you know, credit cards are just perfect for everyone. They're not. They do take understanding, being responsible, not paying interest, paying your cards off. Remember, fees are okay when you're getting value out of them. Interest is not. And you can find yourself getting into a trap where you're spending and spending and spending and not tracking what you're actually paying off. And that can be a little bit destructive. So all the time, I want to make sure to encourage, be responsible with your finances, be responsible with your credit cards. Understanding points and miles can be a huge value. You can do some incredible trips, some incredible travels, and have an incredible lifestyle of travel and taking aspirational trips and destinations and flights and planes that you and myself never would have dreamed that was possible until the world of points and miles came along. But it is important to make sure that you're doing it properly. So with that, we're going to wrap this episode up. I appreciate each and every one of you. The feedback that we get all the time has just been fantastic. Hearing people say, hey, if it wasn't for finding your podcast, I would never be able to have the type of trips that we've been able to take as a family. That keeps me fueled. I appreciate each and every one of you that listen to this show on a weekly basis. With that, we'll wrap this one up. As always, make sure to subscribe if you haven't already. Tell your friends. Leave a rating, leave a review, and we will catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.